Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Katie Britton. Disasters take many forms, and we never know when they'll strike. So to help us be prepared for any situation, Rich Johnson and Outdoor Life have created the Ultimate Survival Manual that will help get us out alive.
Well, you know, a lot of people, when they think of survival, they just think about the wilderness. And this book was designed in three parts. One part is wilderness, one part is urban, and the other part is disasters, like hurricanes and tornadoes, earthquakes, things like that. And so we wanted to present a real broad base of information so that just about no matter what kind of situation a person finds themselves in, they can figure out a way to get out of that alive.
When you begin the book, you say that you should have three different survival kits, one for your home, one for work, and one for your car. And it never came to my mind to have one at work, even though that's where I spend the majority of my life.
You know, I remember not too many years ago, there was a massive power outage in the Northeast that covered a huge region. And some of the people that were caught up in that were at work at the time. The lights were out, you know, and they had to figure out how to get home. The traffic lights had quit working. And it's a good idea for people at work to have some walking shoes so that if, say, the subways go down or something like that and they end up having to walk a great distance, they have some comfortable shoes to do that in. And, you know, some water and some power bars or something like that to hold them over while they're on their way wherever they need to go.
And what about for the home? What should we have in case we need to either hunker down for a couple weeks or a few days even, or if we know we have to move our location, something that we can easily grab?
You know, there are two kinds of survival, basically, situations. One where you can hunker down, as you say, it's called shelter in place. You stay where you are. You stay at your home. Maybe communication is down, transportation is down, electricity is off, and all of that kind of stuff. So you have to have the supplies in your home that will allow you to cook, you know, and have light at night, flashlights, lanterns, things like that. And the other type of situation is one where you have to evacuate, and that's where you might end up in a FEMA camp someplace, a refugee camp, or in a shelter someplace. You have to get out of the area for one reason or another. And in that kit, that's the one you throw in your car, where you have your hygiene items so you don't have to borrow somebody else's toothbrush at the FEMA camp, and basics that can take care of you with some dignity and some comfort, even though you've had to leave your home.
In terms of hurricanes, since hurricane season is starting and the tropical storms are starting, what should we do in terms of preparing ourselves for what may be a time of massive power outages and flooding?
It's a good idea for people to have a place to go. You don't want to just leave your house and drive around aimlessly. So pre-plan a place where you can go. If you have a friend or a relative who lives, you know, out of town some distance, talk to them and say, you know, if I ever have to evacuate, can I come and spend some time at your house? Sure, you come. And then don't wait for the official evacuation notice. Because by the time the authorities get around to issuing a notice to evacuate, everybody hits the streets at the same time. And sometimes it's impossible to get out to go anywhere. You can end up getting trapped in your car while you're trying to evacuate your town. So take the initiative, have a place to go, and have a way to get there, and kind of go ahead of the herd before everybody hits the streets.
Aside for being prepared for different situations, I mean, in this book, if we are lost or stranded in the wilderness, you have different plants that are edible and also ways that people can start their own fire.
It's true. The fundamentals, what you need when you're stuck away from your normal shelter, first of all, think in terms of your clothing being your primary shelter. If you walk away from your house or your car, really, your primary shelter is your clothing. So wear clothing that can actually do some protective work for you. Out in the wilderness, if you get trapped, let's say a storm comes in and it just traps you and you can't get back when you planned to get back, you might just have to hunker down in the coat that you're wearing and with the boots that you have on your feet and try to fabricate some shelter out of the natural materials that you find in the area. get a fire started. The important thing is stay dry, because once you're wet, you just can't get warm again. So, but a fire, if you can get a fire going, can help you dry your clothing and stay warm. As far as food goes, everybody thinks that's the top of the priority list when it comes to survival, but you can live a long time without food. Problem is, if you're there for a long time, you start to lose your ability to do any work and to do the chores that you need to stay alive. So food becomes more important over a long-term area, but you're going to need water to stay hydrated. You're going to need to stay dry, so have some shelter and stay warm.
How do we keep from panicking? I mean, as I was reading through this book and just in general, how do we stay calm and not panic and not think, oh my gosh, and constantly think of the worst that could happen? Or is that better to be mentally prepared so that you are completely prepared?
Yes, experience is the best preparation. So if you have been through a certain experience before, when that crops up again, you're less likely to panic and run down the trail like your hair's on fire, you know, because you've been through it before. The unfortunate thing is we can't experience everything that might ever happen to us. So the next best thing, next to experience, is education. So study up on the proper things to do when you face an emergency situation, and at least then you can fall back on the things that you have studied and read. If you can team up with someone else who has been through those types of experiences before, that can be a very calming influence also.
One of the interesting things that I found while going through the book is, aside from being able to create a fire or packing your basic necessities of what you'll need, but you also have things on how to outsmart your kidnappers or live through a hostage taking.
Yes, that's true. Those are the things that happen in the urban areas. You're not going to get kidnapped out in the wilderness. In fact, if I had to choose between an urban or a wilderness survival situation, if I just was going to be thrust into one or the other, I would choose the wilderness because the most dangerous thing is people, actually. They're more dangerous than bears and mountain lions and all the stuff in the wilderness, but that's just my own choice. So what you want to do if you're in an urban situation, you're confronted with people who have bad motives, a kidnapping, a home invasion, a hostage-taking kind of a situation, is you just don't want to confront them. You don't want to make them angry with you. So be cooperative. Just do what they say, and hopefully they will get it out of their system, whatever it is that they have on their mind, and they'll leave you okay. Now, if you're at like a fast food restaurant and some guy comes in with a gun and just starts randomly shooting people, and this happens, you can't just sit there and be cooperative because he's going to shoot everybody in the place. So that's where you need to get up and move and take action. I think we cover this in the book. You know, there's just different scenarios, and you have to make judgment calls about what is the best thing to do given the circumstances that you're facing at that time.
This is solely your opinion, but opposed to things that you see like Les Stroud on Survivor Man and Man versus Wild, how realistic? Because, I mean, obviously a lot of people think they know everything from watching a TV show.
Right. And, you know, it's a good source of information. Survivor Man, I have a great deal of respect for Les Stroud. He is the real deal, and you can, with a high degree of safety, put into practice the things that he teaches on his show on Survivor Man. There are other shows that is not the case, and, you know, I am not in favor of the things that go on. It's mostly for edgy entertainment value, and if people try to put those things into practice, they're going to get themselves in trouble. So, but Les Stroud, I would endorse him right away. The one thing about him and my own philosophy is, when you are out in a situation like that, you cannot afford to get yourself hurt. Because if you twist your ankle or break a bone or something like that, you're done. You know, on the TV shows, they have backup. Well, Les doesn't, because he's out there by himself with his own cameras. But on some of these other programs, they have a whole team that if the host gets in trouble, they can pull him out with a helicopter. But when you're out in the wilderness yourself, you're not going to have anybody like that. And so you can't be rappelling down the face of a waterfall on some vine, you know, that's hanging down there. And you can't be glissading down the scree really fast. You have to move slow, pace yourself, be very careful so you don't hurt yourself. And that's the best way to go. But from all of the programs, you can pick up some nuggets of survival information that are valid, but the philosophy of Man versus Wild is very different from the philosophy of Survivor Man as far as the TV programs go.
It is the ultimate survival manual, 333 skills that will get you out alive. Rich Johnson, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Katie.
Again, it's Rich Johnson and Outdoor Life's Ultimate Survival Manual. It is published by Weldon Owen. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.